Hey, just let me pray. Oh God, we just thank you that you're with us. Lord, I thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you want to bring a message of truth, a message of faith, and a message of action tonight. So Lord, I just really pray, agree with Sheridan's prayer from earlier tonight, Lord. I just pray that our hearts would be soft to hear from you, and Lord, that we would respond to you. And as a result of tonight, Lord, that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you set out to preach a message on faith, you have a really interesting week, the week before. In fact, a really interesting day, the day that you're going to preach. So today's been an interesting day, and tonight's going to be cool. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Just looking for agreement on that. Tonight's going to be cool, eh?
Yeah.
Excellent. So I thought I'd, to get started, I thought I'd tell you a story about something that happened last year while I was in Europe. And it's a story that some of you might have read on our website of the day that we were in Paris when God bought me a beer. So if you haven't read the story, I'm going to tell you the story because it has relevance to tonight. So we're walking around Paris, the four of us, our family, and we'd been and hung out at the Eiffel Tower, which is really cool, and we wandered through some of the back little lanes of Paris, and just wandering, and I just said to Kathy, I said, you know what would be really cool, just to sit down at a cafe on the side of the road and just watch people for a while, because we've been walking for hours. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. And we've just seen this, what's that ice cream called, that stuff? Gelato, that's right. And we'd seen a gelato shop down the road, so I'm sitting there, Kathy says, hey, look, why don't we send the kids off? We can see the shop across the thing. Why don't we send the kids off? They can have a gelato. And I was like, hey, that's a great idea. So they scurried off down the road with their little coins, and we saw them running back with this gelato. It was exciting. So, of course, in Paris, the only thing that it sounds silly, but you have a Heineken, which you can get anywhere in New Zealand, but I had this Heineken, and it was just a nice afternoon. We're chilling out in the sunshine, and thought, well, we better get walking because we've got other places to see, so I'll go up and I'll pay for the beer. And I go up to the counter, and I had no coins in my pocket, so I just handed over the credit card, the travel card that we had. And the guy looks at me, and he looks at the bill, and he says, no, cash only. And I'm like, sure? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I don't have any cash. And he's like, cash only. And he gives me the card back. And I was like, dude, I haven't got any cash. And he's like, minimum €15 for credit card. And like the beers were like €4 or €5 each. So I'm thinking, I could sit here and have five more beers, but that's probably not responsible. And we were really tight on money at the stage. So I thought, oh. So I met Kathy and I said, hey, cash only? And she's like, no. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh. So she looks in her purse and she says, I've only got like a couple of coins. And I'm like, well, that's not enough. And what are we going to do? And we start, you know, when you get that rising up inside of you, like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, has anyone else ever had that feeling? A couple of you, right. So you got that feeling rising up and I'm going, oh, man. And I seriously didn't know what I was going to do. And so I said to Kathy, I said, can you just check your purse again? And so she checked her purse again. She opens it up, and there's another couple of euro in there. And so we counted them up, and there was enough. And I'm like, so I scurried up, and I said, here you go, here's your coins. And we just took off. And we're walking down the road, and I'm like, she had this really glazed look on her face. And I'm like dumbfounded. And I looked at her, and I said, those coins weren't there before, eh? And she's like, definitely not. And we looked at each other and went, ooh. kind of like you know, the coin and the fish in the Bible? That kind of experience. So that was really exciting. I tell that story to tell you just how awesome God is. But the point of tonight's message, because tonight I'm talking about faith. So we kind of had that freaked out faith. We were like, oh, what are we going to do? And God turned up in that experience. But tonight what I want to talk about, I want to bring a different message. I want to talk about the concept of faith as an action word. So the title of my message, hopefully this is going to work. Woo-hoo! Gotta love technology. I pray that works as well. So tonight is different. Tonight the concept is faith is an action word. It's something that we do. And I want to just talk to you about that. I'll tell you some stories later. But to start with, You see, the difference between the story I just told you about God buying me a beer in Paris and what I'm talking about tonight is that the responsibility is on us. Key point that I hope to help you with. So to start with, I thought, talking about faith, I might just share a couple of examples of some guys in the Bible. Be good to look at the Bible, if we're in church.
Yeah.
Novel idea. Okay. So a couple of guys in the Bible, and the first one I want to talk about is Noah. And if you're taking notes, just write down Noah, and then write Genesis 6 next to that. So you all know the story of Noah. I'm not going to tell you the story of Noah. But see, when I was reading this, I was thinking, we don't even know if Noah had ever seen a boat before. I don't know. It doesn't say that. Couldn't find anywhere where it told me if he was a master craftsman in the area of building boats or not. So I don't know if he'd ever seen a boat. I don't know if he'd ever built one before. And we don't know how long it took him to build the boat, although some people say it could have been as much as 100 years that it took him to build the ark. It's a pretty big boat, eh, when you read about the dimensions. But what we do know, so we don't know if he'd seen a boat before, we don't know if he's a boat builder, we don't actually know how long it took, but what we do know is he built the boat. And when you read in Genesis 6, verse 22, here we go, look at that. Noah did everything exactly as the Lord commanded him. So he'd never seen a boat before, and God said, build a boat. So he did everything exactly as the Lord commanded him. I'm talking about action, talking about doing. So Noah did what God said. So much so that Noah makes it into that Hall of Fame of Faith. Which chapter is that in the New Testament? Hebrews 11, that's right. The Hall of Fame and Faith. Noah makes it in there. And if you look at verse 7, it says he obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. When you read in Genesis, it says the under the ground waters erupted. So all this water starts pouring out of the ground. And the rain came down for 40 days. Never happened before. But Noah obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. And the other guy I want to tell you about is Abraham, who later becomes Abraham. So if you're writing down notes, write Abraham and write Genesis 12. Because the Lord said to Abraham at that time, he said, go. And guess what Abraham did? He went. It's that simple. He packed up his family and his business and he just went where God said. I mean, when you read about later passages and link back to here, he had like 300 odd servants who had families, and he was married, no kids at that stage, but he had a business and he had all this livestock. It says in the Bible that he was very, very, very wealthy. So he had all these people and all his trade, his sheep and goats and whatever else he farmed, and he took them with him and he just went wherever God says. And it says in verse 4, it says, Abram departed as the Lord instructed. Abram departed as the Lord instructed. So it's likely there are over 1,000 people. When you think about the trip from where he picked up Lot and travelled down south into Canaan, it's about 700 odd kilometres that they travelled by foot. 1,000 people, lots of animals, by foot, and Abram's going, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going this way, because that's what the Lord said. So he acted out his faith. In Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, you want to write that down if you're taking notes. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, here's what it says. It was by faith that Abram obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as in his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. He went where he didn't know he was going. And when he got there, he still didn't know why he was there, and yet he lived there by faith. Action. And action's the key thing I want to talk about. The third guy, the final guy I want to talk about with regards to biblical examples of faith in context with what I'm sharing is Elijah. So if you're writing notes, write 1 Kings 18. And in 1 Kings 18, there's the story of the contest on Mount Carmel. One of the guys that Inspire preached on, I can't remember which one. But I love this contest. I love how Elijah is in the midst of this competition that he sets up, and he's like fully mocking the other prophets so much that they end up slashing themselves with these swords, trying to prove themselves. They're false gods, as it were, to bring fire in, and nothing happens. But you see, when you read that passage, the text doesn't really give us a picture of how intimidating that would have been for Elijah. So he's the only prophet of the Lord left. All the others have been slain, slaughtered, killed. He's the only guy professing the name of the Lord. All the others are dead. King Ahab and Jezebel, they want him dead. And he comes back and says, well, hang on, just let's have a chat about this. He's standing on Mount Carmel. The entire nation of Israel is surrounding him, watching, knowing that he's a dead man, thinking he's our last hope. Can you imagine how intimidating that would be? There's 850 other prophets, 450 of them are stabbing themselves going, like this, because they reckon they're going to make it happen. But in 1 Kings 18, verses 36 and 37 in particular, Elijah says this. He prays to God. After the other guys fail, and he pours water all over the place, he prays to God. And he just says, God, prove today that you're God. And prove today that I have done all of this at your command. Prove today that you are God, and that I have done all of this at your command. His actions, even his mocking and his pouring the water all over the place, was done in faith. It was an action. Everything he was doing was from the Lord. Elijah's not actually mentioned by name in Hebrews 11, but some of his miracles are. If you're taking notes, verse 33, it says that there were people of faith that overthrew kingdoms. In verse 34, it says there were people of faith that escaped death by the edge of the sword. In verse 35, it said there was some woman even that received their loved ones back from the dead. Every single one of those could be one of the Elijah miracles. So a man of faith. So three key points about these men of faith that I'm going to transfer for us today is this. They received the word that they got from God by faith. So when you receive something from God, you have to receive it by faith. There's no other way, because unless you've got little birdies sitting on your ear speaking, or you've got a second personality, you know, the conviction comes that it has to be by faith. The second thing is that they claimed that word by faith. They took hold of it. Because it's quite easy to say, well, I think God said something, and then let it go. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, God can speak, but if you don't grab hold of it, guess what? It moves on. So you not only have to receive that word by faith, you have to claim it by faith, and here's the action. They walked it out by faith. There was action involved. They had to do something. A while ago, just on this, with regards to faith, a while ago Pastor Simon shared a message on faith, and he talked about the Hebrew word for faith. And so I'm just going to touch on that again, because I find it fascinating. See, us Western people, we think very, very differently to the way that a Hebrew person, so a person of the Old Testament, we think very differently to the way that they think. So when we say faith, what most of us probably have is a picture of mental strength. We say we have faith in God, and that explains the fact that we think, well, we believe that God exists. That's what if you nod your head, do you agree with me? Like when we say, I've got faith, I believe in God. Does that sound right? Okay. Well, that's a westernized way of thinking. You know, we believe God has the power to save souls, to heal sickness, to even to raise the dead. But by doing that, we're taking the word faith and we're placing the action onto the one that we believe in. So we're taking our belief, we're saying, well, there's an action involved here, you're going to raise the dead. Okay, God, we put that action on you. You're the one. But the Hebrew way is quite different. So I went and had a look at Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and emunah is the, I hope I haven't got the pronunciation too bad, but emunah is the Hebrew word for faith. And in the dictionary it says that this word is an action word meaning to support. It means if I have faith, I will support by doing. So this places the action in my faith not on the one I believe in, but it places the action on me. I have to do it. I have to stand in the gap. If I have emunah faith, I have to be the one who supports God. I have to have the faith. I will act to support what God has said. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Noah heard from God. He had to have emunah faith. He had to act to support what God said, and he had to build the boat. Abraham heard from God, received it, had to walk it out. He had to have faith and had to walk it out to support what God said, because God said, go and inherit the land and I'll build a nation out of you. Elijah had faith. He heard from God. He had to have emunah faith. He had to have that faith and walk it out and say, well, God, prove that you just said that you're going to prove, you know, to these people that that Baal is a false god. Had to walk it out. We've got to take action. You know, another definition, I want to read this out, puts it this way. To have faith in God is not knowing that God exists or knowing he'll act. Rather, it is the one with emunah will act with firmness towards God's will. So I'm the one with faith. I need to act with firmness towards what God has said, whether it's something in Scripture or something that he's said to me. So Noah was acting with firmness. Oh, I've done that, haven't I? Emunah, to support with action. So I've got to walk it out. I've got to take steps. And so, church, I mean, the challenging thing I find about this is if we want to be a people of faith, if we're going to profess to be a Christian church with faith in God, then what that means is we need to stop being a people that just wait for God to move. We need to be the ones that act with firmness, doing the action towards God's will. Can you see the difference? I can pray and have faith and say, God, I can't wait for you to do it. That's not what faith means. What faith means is I pray saying, God, I'm going to go and do because you said. See the big difference? Faith is an action word. So, let's act this out. So I've asked permission for Dreykus and Naomi to come and help me out. And this is not going to be theatre sports. Thought about it, but no. So if you guys could come up here. And here's what you're going to do. Because a couple of times in ministry here at church and in some of the electors in Inspire, I happen to be involved in praying for healing for Naomi. She's got a tenderness and a twisting thing around here. I haven't got a medical definition, so you just come and stand up here so everyone can see you guys. Just stand up here. Just stand up here. He can stand. No, you come up here, bro. He's a big fella. Okay, so why I've asked these guys out here is this. Is that we need to, as a church, we need to believe in faith. We need to act in support of what God declares. And what does God declare in his word? That he will bring healing. He has the power to heal. Okay? And so here's what we're going to do. You're going to stand up, please. Okay? And the Bible says by the laying on of hands we can bring healing if we all agree in faith. And so acting in faith means you guys agreeing. Do you see what I'm doing? So we're just going to lay hands on the back of Naomi and I'm going to pray, Lord God, by the power of your word and the blood of Jesus Christ and the impartation of faith of the saints, Lord, we believe for healing for Naomi. Lord, as a church, we act out with firmness and we agree that this is something that you can do. And we look forward to celebrating and declaring God's glory because of your healing power in her life and her body for your glory's name. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you agree, church? Say amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Sit down. So, church, faith is about action. Faith is about action. Let me tell you a personal story. So as I just shared, last year we travelled overseas, and when we came back from Europe, we flew back into the States, and as we were going, it became obvious to me that within a couple of days we were going to run out of money. So this is in September last year, and we planned to be in the US till February this year. And so I talked to Kathy about it. I said, look, the reality is we're going to run out of money. We've got no cash left, no access to money. What are we going to do? So we flew into the States and we were like, this is a bit scary. And we didn't really know what we were going to do. And so we prayed. I'll show you. This is how far away we were. So you might not be able to see this. Way down the bottom there's New Zealand. And this is the United States. And that's where we were. Up in there, in the top corner of Florida, in Destin. And we turn up there. and I'm going, what am I going to do? We've got no group of friends to call on. We knew one family in Florida. One family. We had no home. And we weren't allowed to work there because we didn't have a holiday visa, and I'd tried to suss a few things out, and book sales back here were okay but slow, and certainly not enough to support us. And so we were stranded. And the one family that we did know, they were a Christian family, and so they prayed. And they prayed. And they came back to us and they said, look, we really feel like God said that you're not going to stay with us. And I'm like, oh, okay. So Kathy and I prayed, and unfortunately, well, God said the same thing to us. You're not going to stay with your friends. And we're like, okay. So the obvious thing would be to go back to New Zealand. I mean, it's the obvious thing. We had tickets. They were already booked. We could just change the dates, fly back and start again back here. But then God said this to me. He took me to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and he said, I'm going to show you something. And in verse 3 it says there, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I'm like, whoa, gee, I heard that. I have to claim that. But guess what? Now I've got to walk it out. Well, how the heck do I do that? I mean, we're miles from any support. I've got no friends, no family. I've got no other family. I've got Kathy and the kids with me, and I'm freaking out because I don't know what to do. So we end up in Florida, though. Here's another picture. So this is the United States, and so just to show you a little bit more, like this is Florida. So here's Miami down here. You don't want to go down there. It's a real bad place to live if you're a Christian. Or a good place if you're a missionary. And then you got Orlando, where Disney World is. And then we're way over here in this little place called Destin. That's about the size of Narrawahia, but it's much, much nicer. Because it's on the beach, of course. It's on the beach. So as we're driving down the interstate one day, the Lord said to me, Phil, you've got to walk out your faith. You've got to walk out your faith. And he reminded me of the story of Jericho. And so we're driving down the interstate, and I said to Kathy and the kids, I said, guys, this sounds really crazy, but I think God wants us to walk out our faith. I said, do you remember the story of Jericho? And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. It's been listening to that story since we were kids. I said, well, remember how the Israelites were told to walk around the city until God turned up? And they were like, well, yeah. It's like, well, guess what? We've got to walk out our faith. I think we need to walk around the streets until God gives us somewhere to live. So we're like, okay, so here's a map of Destin, where we were living. And see that little blue line there? That's a block around some houses. It's about 0.8 of a mile in distance, Google Map tells me. So that would be about 1.2 kilometers, okay? So so there it is there. We would park our car down here by the street, by the beach. And there was this guy there that played his guitar, and I don't know where he lived, but he was a happy guy. And then, anyway, we would walk down here, and as we would get here, we would start praying. And we'd say, okay, God, we believe that you've said that you're going to teach us to live by faith, and that you said you're going to provide for us. So we pray that you give us somewhere to live. And all four of us would pray as we walked around. It would take about 20 to 25 minutes to do the block, and we would all just pray, and then we would just keep walking. And what happened is, as the days went past, do you know what happened? Our faith got stronger. The proclamation that we shared. So I started saying to the kids, I said, guys, we need to talk in the positive. We need to speak as if it is already. And so we started saying, thank you, God, for the house that you've got for us. Thank you, God, that you have taken us this far and you're not going to leave us stranded. And we started seeing our faith rise. We believed despite the circumstances. We walked out our faith every day for almost a month. In the middle of it, Kathy had to come back to New Zealand for her sister's wedding. Jackson and I stayed there. And one day, the little dude goes, Dad, you know in the Bible how they did it seven times? And I'm like, oh, yeah? And he's like, today we've got to do seven. Okay. So we did seven laps. And every time we did a lap, we praised God for his provision in faith, that he would come through. And you know, I'm not telling the story to tell you that I'm awesome, because at this stage I can promise you I'm freaking out. How am I going to handle this? And yet God comes through. God comes through. So one day at church, a lady comes up to me and she says, "Hey, I've heard your story." And she says, "This may sound a bit odd, but we've got a condo on the beach and I really think God wants you to live in it." And I'm like going, "Ooh-wee, that's good." And I said, "But look, you just need to understand the other half of the story. We're living by faith, and that means that we only get to survive by what God gives us. And that sounds really silly, but if you're willing to partner with us in faith on this journey, we would be happy to live in your condo and we can pray together that God will bring the rent money for you." And she's like, "Oh, that's so exciting." And I'm like, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it." You know what's really funny, just on the side? Her husband was an accountant, but he wasn't there in that part of the conversation. So by faith, you know, the exciting ones, we just went for it. And so this lady says, "Will you come around and look at it?" And I said, "Okay." And so, these are the houses that were by the beach, but this is where we ended up living in Florida. So it's not too shabby. That's the view from my couch. So I would sit there having my quiet time every morning, and it's not hard to praise God when you've got that kind of view. One day we watched dolphins swim across here. And every day I woke up and I said, "God, you're amazing." So you're that close to the beach. You had to watch out for beach whales. And every night Kathy would go out because she loved the sun. She was never up early. So she would want to go and watch the sunset. And she would sit there, she took that photo one night, and we just had the most beautiful sunsets. But I promise you this, the only way we got there was by God's provision. And then one day they had this hurricane warning. And in Florida, I didn't realize this, you know, Kiwis are just so dumb. But in Florida, they take hurricanes quite seriously. Like they would actually tie down their cars and they would bolt shut the house. And suddenly all the poolside furniture disappeared. And we're like, "What's going on?" I mean, hurricane warning, whatever. So 7 o'clock, the morning of the hurricane, this is our family on the beach. Because we wanted to see the hurricane. And there's no one else on the beach. And we're like, "Where is everybody?" But, you know, we were out there because we were chasing the hurricane. It's silly, eh? But, you know, this story reminds me, like, we receive that word by faith. That God said, "I'm going to teach you to live by faith and I want you to stay here." But we had to claim it. And then we had to walk it out. And it was not an easy journey. But, you know, the Emunah faith, we had to put our action into, we had to put our support in action of what God, in support of what God had said. It was an action thing. You know, and so, you know, I mean, I'm only telling you the story again to say how awesome God is. Does anyone else agree that God's awesome? Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. When you talk about faith and you tell stories like that, for someone like me, what I'm trying to do is to give you faith. And, you know, one of the words for that is like impartation. I'm trying to impart some faith. I'm trying to pass on. I'm trying to pass the baton of faith. Because I can promise you this, that after that experience and many, many others that we had last year, that I reckon I've got some faith. Because I've walked it out. Okay? But here's the thing. The Bible shows us quite clearly that God wants every single one of us to have more of Him. Does anyone agree with that? Amen. So I want more of what God's got for me. Is anyone else out there interested in that? Come on. Anyone else interested in what God's got for them? Okay. So faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You read that in the New Testament. It's one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit chooses to give people. It's one that I know that He's given to me. Now, I didn't receive the ability to speak in tongues because I'm clever. I did not receive the ability to prophesy because I'm tall, dark, and handsome. Now, I didn't receive the gift of faith for any other reason than God's grace. Does that make sense? It's God's grace. It's the Holy Spirit that chooses. If you want to read more about that and you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 12, the first 11 verses. A fantastic just encouragement for, it's the Holy Spirit that imparts these gifts to each one of us. And it goes on, Paul goes on to talk about the body of Christ. Now, God is sovereign. Let me just make that quite clear. God is sovereign, and He can choose whenever He likes to give people His gifts. But we're encouraged in the Bible to pray for one another, to receive more anointing from the Lord. And that's where I want this to go. Because impartation is something that should happen within the body of Christ, within the community of faith. You know, we're called to, like we did before, we're called here to pray for Naomi, and together we agree that she will receive healing by God's power. When Sophie's up here sharing her story about how she got baptized in the Holy Spirit and was given the gift of speaking in tongues, guess what she did? She prayed for someone. And did you hear what she said happened? Was it Aaron? Aaron received the gift because of her prayer and her faith. That's called impartation. In the Bible, there's two ways that you can receive impartation. The first one is that God turns up. And in the times of Moses, that happened more often than it does now. So in Numbers 11, all the people are being real stink, and Moses is getting frustrated, and God's getting angry. And Moses is like, for goodness sake, why did you make me lead these people? I'm sick and tired of them. You may as well just kill me. I've had enough. And so he has this little sort of anger outburst. But then it says in Numbers 11:25 that the Lord came down amongst them and put his spirit on the 70 people that had been selected to be the leaders. There was an impartation by the power of God into others, and they received the same spirit that Moses had. When you go through to the New Testament, I think I've got a slide on this. Here, if you're writing notes down, write those verses down. Impartation of the anointing of God and release of the gifts, or release of healing, or release of blessing, happens by faith, by impartation, by one praying for another. Do you agree with that, church? Some of you do. Okay, so here's the deal. I believe that because of the journey that God's taken me on over a long period of time, but some of the stories that happened last year, that I have received the gift of faith. I've walked it out, and God has given it to me. And Paul teaches us in the Bible that when we have a gift, we can lay hands on a brother or sister in Christ, and we can believe that they can receive that same gift too. Does that make sense? So here's what's going to happen. We're going to finish up shortly. And what I'm believing for is that in faith, we're going to see a release in people of the gift of faith so that they can walk out and act out what God has proclaimed in their lives. Does that sound interesting? If you're someone that wants more of what God has for you, then one of the ways you tap into that is you get closer to Him and that you walk out what He has declared. First thing is, you need to hear what He has to say. So the 3 points that I said before, you know, when I said the 3 points were, we receive by faith what God said. Okay, the first thing you need to hear what He's saying. Then you get that by reading the Word. You get that by being in a prayer group, in a cell group environment. You get that in ministry time in church. And you also get that by God speaking prophetically through others. And so if you have received a word like that, or you're seeking a word like that, God will honor you and turn up and encourage you in what He wants to proclaim in your life. That's the first step. The second thing you have to do is you have to receive it. You have to cling to it. You have to hang on to it. You have to walk it out and say, okay, God, I can't see it right now, but I believe it, and I'm going to walk it out. Abraham believed that he was a father of many nations before he was a father of one man. And God credited to him as righteousness. You have to cling to it. And then you've got to walk it out. You've got to walk in faith, and you've got to act as if it was. And you know, there's caution there. You don't necessarily want to be ahead of God's timing. That's a discernment thing. It's a wisdom thing. It's being around other Christians and saying, this is my journey, you know, this is what God said, and I'm praying in faith for this. Will you just stand with me and help me? That's called the community, the body of Christ. But what I'm praying for tonight is that we'll have an opportunity for the laying on of hands and the impartation of faith to those that want it and really, really want to see it activated in their lives. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up. Have I got someone to... Oh, here he comes. So I'm going to wrap this up. And what I want to do is I just want to have a time where we can... Kathy's going to come and join me. And we can pray for you if you are thinking, I just want someone to help me, someone to stand beside me with faith. And the Bible teaches when you come expectant, God honors that expectation. I believe that. That if you come expecting God to release something in your life, then He's going to honor that. But you have to take hold of it. And you have to walk it out. Okay, so we just want to open up the front. Yeah? So thank you very much. It's been fun. I've got, like I said, today was an interesting day. And what was a message is now a different message for a different night. Tonight is all about faith as an action word. I really want you to take that home. Faith is an action word. If you have faith, you need to walk it out. You need to act it out. You need to hang on to it and walk it out. So, let's just bow our heads and let me just pray before some of you leave. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can open up your word and we can receive your truth. Lord, we can receive revelation by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that some of the words that I've said would be like seeds that would fall on fertile ground. And Lord, by your grace, your mercy, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Father, I just pray that those words would take root in the hearts that are fertile. Lord, that the souls that hunger for more of you would receive more of you. Lord, that in faith as they walk it out this week, they would see you move in miraculous ways. And God, I just pray that your name would be glorified through our lives, through our testimonies, because you're so awesome. We just praise you and glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Okay, church. So we're just going to wrap this up, I think. But if you want to receive some prayer for any reason, so you might even be here not even knowing whether you're saved or not, or who is Jesus, then come and see me. I'd love to tell you about that and love to pray with you as well. You know, some of those people that were in Tonga that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe you could hang out over here. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe we can find someone that is able to lay hands on and activate and impart that into your life. So much more that God has for every single one of us, wherever we're at. And I just get excited when we're in an environment where God moves and does that. Okay.